Good morning. The notices for the following week are as follows. On Wednesday, the prayer meeting will be held at 8 p.m. and that will be on Zoom. On Friday, the church cafe will meet at 10 a.m. in the church hall alongside the craft group, also at 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. On Saturday, the 2nd of March, is the Wesleyan Reform Union General Meetings that will be held at Rushton Mission, but they'll also be on Zoom. Sunday, next Sunday, the service will be led by David DePledge and the Worship Warriors will meet at 11 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall and the service will also be communion. An advance notice that on Saturday the 9th of March we're holding the quiz night. This is to start at, well, they're asking you to be here for 7 p.m. for a 7:15 start. Teams, maximum of 6, and the entry is £7.50, that's each. Is that each per or per team? Each.
Each, but that includes a fish and chip subpar.
I haven't got that far yet.
Sorry.
Yeah.
If you're on something else, then it may be
reduced. Right. So if you're unsure, have a word with Carol afterwards. But that's Saturday, the 9th of March, 7 p.m. Next Sunday, the preacher will be... I've lost my place now. I've done that, haven't I? Yes, I've done that. So, sorry about that, everyone. And it's my pleasure to welcome John this morning. Lovely to have you with us again, and I'll hand over to you.
Good morning, everyone. It's rather fresh, isn't it? Yeah, it's great to be able to come together and worship the Lord. I don't know what sort of a week you've had. Some of us have been really busy. I've got lots of things on our mind, which isn't always a bad thing, I suppose. But as we come together, let us remember that we're here primarily to meet the Lord. It's great that we meet with one another. As brothers and sisters in the Lord, we have this one thing in common, our dear Lord Jesus. And so our call to worship comes from Psalm 108, where it says, "My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make music with my soul. Awake, harp and lyre, I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples." So at the very outset of our service, let us remember that we are here to praise our Lord. And we're going to do that in our opening song. We are here to praise you, lift our hearts and sing.
Thank you.
Let us commit this meeting to the Lord in prayer. We are indeed here to praise you, Lord. And so help us to give you the best that we can bring. Help us, Lord, to focus on you, to feel your spirit, that we may be drawn closer to you. And that you, I pray that you will speak to each and every one of us, no matter where we are coming from. Whether we have a heart of in pain, Lord, or a mind in turmoil, or a body that is suffering, I pray, Lord, that you would draw alongside each and every one of us, and that you would minister to us in a very special way. We will remember those that are not able to be with us this morning, for whatever reason, that they would know your presence also in a very real and comforting way. And at this time, we would remember little Rosie, Lord, back in hospital. I pray, Lord, that you would give the doctors wisdom and to know what best to do, and that she would be fit enough to go back home to their parents in the not too many days ahead, Lord. And so we just thank you, Lord, that we can commit all these things to you, because you are our Heavenly Father, and that you lead us every step of the way. So continue to be with us as we wait upon you, as we continue to worship you, and as we open up your word, that you will speak to us in a very special way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. At this time, we can present our gifts and offerings to the Lord and our tithes. Dear Lord, we thank you that you are the faithful one. And we thank you, Lord, that you provide for all of our needs. And Lord, as we give these gifts, may they really be from a glad and a sincere heart, a thankful and a grateful heart, Lord. And that as we give these gifts, we would indeed give our very lives to you as a living sacrifice. So I pray, Lord, that you would use these gifts, as well as our very selves, for the extension of your kingdom, we pray. Amen. So we're going to sing another song. May the mind of Christ my Saviour rest in me from day to day. Thank you. So we sang just there, may the mind of Christ dwell in us richly in our very day-to-day lives, to the extent that he controls everything we say and do. So those are quite challenging words, if we really think about them. To desire these things is no small thing. I think the bar that Jesus sets for us are really high. And so we're going to have a look at that in our reading, to see what it means to have the mind of Christ living us from day to day. And so the reading is Luke chapter 6, reading from verse 27. This is our lifestyle if we have the mind of Christ living in us from day to day. Luke 6, 27. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others what you would have them do to you. If you love only those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back in return. And then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind. He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. And so be merciful, just as your Heavenly Father is merciful. So we say there that the bar that Jesus sets for us is very high. And as we read there, he gives many examples of what true Christianity actually looks like. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at one particular attribute that should characterize our walk with God. And that is the fruit of kindness. Okay, we saw there that he is kind to even the ungrateful, and that we should also show that kindness. So let us sing one more song before we dive into that passage. And that is to make me a channel of your peace. Because this is the only way we will get anywhere close to living as Jesus intended us, by inviting him to reign in our lives and to rule us as king. Make me a channel of your peace.
Thank you.
I wonder if any of you knew that the other Friday, kind of midway through every February, in fact, it was a particular day called Random Act of Kindness Day. Yeah, you've heard of that. Random Act of Kindness. It's pretty self-explanatory, and I guess it's got to be a good thing. Surely it's good to show random acts of kindness. But my question is, do we really need a special day for random acts of kindness in the middle of February? You see, the fact that there is a special day for kindness suggests to me that in this world, kindness is the exception rather than the rule. Else, why have a special day for it? And so I thought today would be a good time to see what the Bible has to say about kindness, and that we can see, hopefully, how kindness is so important to the Christian life. And so that hopefully we can elevate this idea of kindness to more than just an occasional day or an occasional nicety, to be the key characteristic of both God and his disciples. So let's have a look at kindness. First of all, I guess the most important thing is that God is kind. Okay, God is kind. Psalm 63 says, "Thy loving kindness is better than life." How wonderful is that? Better than life is God's loving kindness. Again, the Bible tells us that he causes his son, that is the S-U-N, the sun, to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Okay, so his kindness is undeserving to a lot of people. So the problem is that God's kindness, I believe, is just not appreciated by the vast majority, let alone acknowledged. You see, they continue to presume on the riches of God's kindness, his kindness which is poured out to us day after day. And the sad thing is, I would say that the most, they miss the whole point. They miss the whole point of God's kindness. And God's kindness is meant to lead us to repentance. That's the bottom line. I don't know if you're familiar with the story of Hosea in the Old Testament. You see, it's a great story. It tells us that no one on earth is deserving of God's kindness. And it's only because of his amazing grace that any one of us is plucked from the flames and saved to eternal life. Because we're all undeserving. And so to give us a sense of God's kindness against our unworthiness, he sent the prophet Hosea. Hosea, is, I suppose he was like a living allegory. And so Hosea, he married a promiscuous woman. Why? To demonstrate how the people of Israel had committed adultery against their God by being unfaithful to him. And even after having children together, Hosea's wife went astray. What did Hosea do? He went after her. He paid a sum of silver to the lover to buy her back. Such is Hosea's love. And he continued to love her despite all that. And so this, I believe, is illustrative of God's abounding love towards us. In the face even of our rejection, when we turn our backs against him, and the price that Jesus paid to bring us back to himself, to bring us back to the heart of God. Only Jesus didn't pay with silver, he didn't pay with gold. The price he paid for our redemption was his own precious blood. Okay, this is how much he loves us. And so that is why, as Christians, you are not your own. You can't just do what you want to do, because you belong to God. This is what the scriptures say in 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 19. Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So we belong to God. We don't belong to ourselves anymore. And so for us today, just as the Israelites in Hosea's time, we broke the covenant. We have strayed away from God. But despite our rebellion, despite our unfaithfulness, God's overwhelming kindness prevailed. And we thank God for that. And so it says in the scriptures, when the goodness and loving kindness of our God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of the good things we had done, but because of his own mercy. Okay, so this is how wonderful God's kindness is towards us. Okay, it means that his love is for all because of his kindness. And in case we were ever to lose sight of God's loving kindness to each and every one of us, we have beautiful passages like Romans 8, where it conveys perfectly and beautiful how his love is stronger than anything else we could ever imagine. Let me read that for you. Romans 8, verse 31. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels or rulers, nor things in the present or the things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How secure does that passage make you feel? Do you feel secure? By the power of his love, we are invincible as his children. And so we should feel totally empowered, strengthened to do great things in God's name. Because his love prevails no matter what goes on around us. And so at the very least, we can afford to be kind, surely. When we think about the measure of his love to us, surely that manifests through kindness for one another. So let us start by being kind to the undeserving. Okay, should we be kind to the undeserving? Well, the Lord our God certainly is. As Jesus taught in no uncertain terms that our kindness needs to extend even towards our enemies. Okay, so this is not an easy thing to do. We read it earlier. Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Okay, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But this is the way. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. For God is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. So then there's also kindness towards the lost. Okay, those who don't know our dear Lord and Saviour. The greatest act of kindness that you can extend to others is in fact free. It is free, and that is to share with others the good news of God's salvation. So if you've ever sat and wondered, what's the purpose of life? What am I doing here? Well, wonder no more. Why? Because God has put us here for a specific purpose, for a reason, and that is to be the light of the world. So if you're not shining for the Lord, you're not fulfilling the purpose for which Christ has left us here. And so it says, therefore, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Okay, see, we are commanded by the Lord to shine. So don't be shy in making the most of every opportunity. And certainly, don't hide your light under a bucket. Another form of kindness might be kindness to strangers. Being kind to those who we don't even know. In our main reading, Jesus noted that even sinners display kindness towards others. Well, there's this little story in Acts chapter 28 where the Apostle Paul noted how he was shown kindness from strangers, strangers even from a different culture. And so this is when he was shipwrecked. He swam ashore and he noted the native people of Malta showed unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all because it had begun to rain and it was cold. Okay, so there we see a very practical form of kindness shown towards Paul. It was practical. It was precious. You see, being kind to those not like themselves. Now, I can't possibly know what motivated these people to help Paul. Okay, it doesn't say they were doing it because they loved the Lord. I don't know, perhaps they believed in karma. The word karma didn't seem to be a word when I was young. It seems to have entered our vocabulary, I don't know, quite recently. But it's actually a concept from Hinduism and Buddhism. Did you realise that? This is where the word karma comes from. Basically, what it's saying is, what goes around comes around. Well, I suppose in this respect, there is a similar sort of theme in the Bible as well. So it's not totally errant. So, for example, Proverbs 11 and verse 17 says, a man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. This is the word of the Lord. Now, a far more extensive description of this proverb is explained in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, where it says, do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest, if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So our acts of kindness, they may well go unnoticed. Our acts of kindness may well go unappreciated. But God knows the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. As another proverb puts it, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. Think about it that way. And he will reward them for what they have done. So I've mentioned there being kind to strangers, being kind to the undeserving, and being kind to the lost. But there is another vital recipient for our kindness that I shouldn't really have to bring up. But sadly, it seems to be lacking in certain circles, and that is kindness towards brothers and sisters. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. So there in the scriptures is a call for among ourselves, our own brothers and sisters, to be kind and to be compassionate with one another, and to be forgiving. You see, there should always be time and space to be kind to one another. To say a kind word. Okay, what does that cost? Just to give a word of encouragement. See, words that build others up and promote unity within the body of Christ. As it says in Proverbs 16, verse 24, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. See, our words have so much power to heal. Let us do that rather than to destroy. Again, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, put on then, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, compassionate hearts, kindness and humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against the other, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So, there we see that kindness extends towards forgiving one another. For if no other reason than because God has forgiven you first. So what right have we not to forgive when God has forgiven so much in our own lives? And so that leads me to say, don't hold a grudge. Okay, don't ever hold a grudge, because it tends to harm yourself more than anyone else. In a similar sort of way, the only person you harm by not being kind is yourselves. I would much rather the positive feelings that spring from an act of kindness than the negativity brought about by being mean. You see, when someone offends you, okay, they say words that upset you, a heart of kindness will let that go. And it will not allow that offense to fester. As the exquisite soliloquy of love, you all know it, in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. It keeps no record of wrongs. So what if someone cuts across a very strong view of yours? Okay, you have a very strong view about something, and they somehow, I don't know, dismiss it, or they offend you, then ask yourself, does this particular matter form the central pillar on which the gospel either stands or falls? You see, we need wisdom to understand if those things that cause division are really worth dividing us. Are they really that important? See, by all means, do take a firm stand on certain matters that are important to you. That's fine. I don't know, it might be infant baptism. It might be the last 1,000 years in Revelation. But where someone else has a slightly different opinion, does it really matter in the kingdom work, in saving others for the Lord Jesus, in our unity with one another? You see, in all of our interactions, we need to let love and kindness temper everything we say and do. And that way, we can be an encouragement to one another. In that way, we will shine brightly as a church in this little neighborhood. Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Zechariah 7, verse 9. See, the wonderful thing about kindness is that it is infectious. It is infectious. This is what it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 19. This might seem a bit of a random verse, but it says this. Now, after Nahash, the king of the Ammonites, died, his son reigned in his place. And David said, I will deal kindly to the son of Nahash, for his father dealt kindly to me. So here's David. He's saying he's going to treat someone kindly to this person because this person's father was kind to me. And so David is passing on this kindness. And this example of David being kind, was it not an isolated event? In another example, he reinforced the idea that kindness should not be confined to just a random act. No, we can be intentional with our kindness. So let me set the scene. So Saul was the first king of Israel, but he messed up. And so God replaced him with a man after his own heart. That was David. In the course of time, Saul's son, Jonathan, he was the next in line to be king. And yet, Jonathan became the best of friends with David. And it wasn't long before Jonathan's loyalties were tested when he discovered that his father was determined to kill his best friend David. Remember that David was a threat to his crown. But even though through these complicated relationships, David, he never stopped honouring the king, even though the king wanted him dead. Also, he never let go of his dear friendship with Jonathan, even to the end. And so when Saul and Jonathan, they tragically died in battle, David was then determined to honour both of them with kindness, even after their death. And so this is what it says in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 3. So here's King David, all powerful. His enemies are done. And he says, "Is there not still someone in the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to?" Okay, so King David, he's got lots of things to be doing. And yet here he is, concerned about who can I show God's kindness to? And then someone said to the king, "Ah, there is still a son of Jonathan. He's crippled in both feet, Mephibosheth." And so Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said to Mephibosheth, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Saul. And I will restore you to the land of Saul, your father, and you shall eat at my table always." Imagine that. You're invited to the king, and the king says, "You can eat at my table always." What kindness. He didn't have to do that. So this is an example that we can be kind because God is kind to us. So I wonder, do we go out of our way to be kind? Do we look for opportunities to be kind? Do we want to share God's kindness that they might be impressed with God's love? See, as the king saw, he had a ton of other things to get on with, and yet he would not rest until he found someone, anyone, with whom he could show God's kindness to. So how eager are we to share God's kindness by being kind to others? So I think that we need to up our game. See, being kind is something we need to pursue. We don't just happen upon being kind by accident. Well, at least I don't anyway. But we need to be intentional with our kindness. Proverbs 21, verse 21 says, "Whoever pursues righteousness, whoever pursues kindness, will find life, righteousness, and honor." So do you know anyone who is known for their kindness? Okay, there are a lot of kind people around. And no, they don't have to be rich. Okay, you don't need a big bank balance to be kind. And so I wonder, are you known for your kindness? Can others see the kindness of God in you? See, now, there are many ways in which we can show kindness to others. Many ways. How you show kindness to someone might be different to how someone else shows kindness. Some things come naturally to you or more naturally to others. For example, I know you might be in your element with the kindness of showing hospitality. For others, the idea of showing hospitality
it makes them fearful because they lack the social skills, perhaps, and they feel uncomfortable. And so we need to play to our own strengths and finding ways that we can be kind, because we all have different gifts. This is what it says in Romans 12, verse 6. We all have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy according to your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. And be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. So a good place to start is to be kind in the areas where God has gifted you. So on the one hand, don't beat yourself up if you don't excel in that whole list of different gifts. Okay, we can't expect to be gifted in all of those areas. But on the other hand, I think it's good that we do stretch ourselves and to practice perhaps those areas that we're not too strong on. And so from time to time, it is good to work towards the edges of your comfort zone. So in this way, we will grow and mature. Let me wrap up. I don't know about you, but whenever someone is kind and considerate towards me, I get this warm feeling, a glow with inside. And I think this is one of the golden rules that came from the lips of Jesus himself, where he says, "Do unto others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." So we know how we like to be treated. Let us treat others in the same way. So do you need more motivation in being kind? Then imagine you're being kind to an angel in disguise. Okay, I'm not being delusional here. This is what it says in Hebrews 13. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing. Okay, so if you're showing kindness, you may well be showing kindness to an angel. But if that doesn't hit the mark for you, what about being kind to the Lord Jesus himself? "I was hungry and you gave me something to eat," Jesus said. "I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." And then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And the king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." So we can be kind as an act of serving the Lord in a very direct way. You see, just a little bit of kindness goes a long, long way. And so as we go our separate ways this morning, let us remember the precious words of our Lord Jesus, how he himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Amen. So let us close with a song that rejoices in our oneness with the Lord Jesus, that we are happy and blessed because of him. And being filled with his goodness, we can all share in his kindness with those around us. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us this great story, something we can sing about, praising my Saviour all the day long. But I pray, Lord, as we are watching and waiting, looking above, we would thank you for your kindness. And help us, Lord, to show that kindness to one another, that kindness to strangers, to the undeserving, to the lost, even our enemies, Lord. And help us to be kind to our brothers and sisters, that together we might grow in unity and be a shining light in this neighbourhood. So we just thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray, Lord, that it would sink into our hearts, stay in our minds, and mould us to be more like you day by day. And so help us, Lord, as we go our separate ways, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.